January 20th, 2003, Happy Martin Luther King Day. It's the Watt from Pedro Show.
Thank you.
Watt from Pedro Show. That was Ray Barbie with Fully Persuaded. We started the show off with Alabama by John Coltrane. Happy Martin Luther King Day. Watt kind of subdued because the sickness hit me. Friday night, I played with Kira at that bass bash thing in Orange County, which was, Kira was great, but I kind of choked. I stood up, you know, I haven't been standing up at recent ghost gigs. I've been sitting down and playing. I want to stand up because it's a packed room and no real stage. The people were sitting maybe a foot in front of us. And I wanted to give her support, but I played that Fender bass, that new Sting I got. And since, you know, it was given to me and it was across the street from this NAMM thing, right? Big convention. I thought, well, I'll do this for Fender people. But the way the neck is set really in the body, so those high frets are hard to get to. So, you know, long story short, I choked. I was blowing clams. I lost my nerve at the beginning of the set, too, which was very strange. I mean, it was an intimidating situation. But, damn, I was... No excuses. It just happens. Anyway, Kira was great, and the people were very nice to us. And there was a lot of... I will say that we stuck out. We were much different. You know, the cats. One guy was... Everybody else was solo. Well, but you wouldn't know by listening. One guy was triggering stuff with MIDI. He had organs, drums, had a whole band going with him.
Kicking his knees together.
Yeah, sort of like that, but it was an electronic version. So he just hit a pedal to start it up. Stuff like that. These guys, everybody, six strings and all this. So I was very proud of Dose having a unique kind of thing.
That's cool.
I just wish I would have played better and had my nerve, but well, life's made of many gigs. Then Michael Mannering and Steve Lawson invited me to come play up in Hollywood last night with them, but I was just too sick. This thing, well, Friday after the gig, putting up the stuff, I started getting these sniffles, you know, and sneezing, which are bonding this with me and stuff. Came home, I was so weak. There was a wreck on the Vince Thomas Bridge. Man, a bash, bad one. So scary about wrecks on a bridge like that.
Yeah.
You know? Where do you go? Where do you go?
I had a flat one time up there, man. Cars just barreling down the whole
thing. Yeah, and that's what happens. This was on the other side where you go downhill, and somebody must have went flying over and bashed this guy who conked out. I mean, it was a bash. Anyway, Saturday, I was all weak and sweaty. Stayed there, and same thing yesterday, you know. I did do a little pedaling in the morning. I was telling Brother Matt here before the show, man, it is very difficult for me to lay around. I ain't puking or stuff like that, so it's more like in the a bunch of mocos in the head and teary eyes and weakness, like pain in joints.
I was gargling some betadine, lemon juice and salt water the other day because of the killer sore throat just started.
Yeah, I'm lucky. I don't have any of that.
Not the goop.
I got no sore throat or stuff. Anyway, I pedaled, you know, just to get fluids running through me. And I did this morning, too, bundled up big time. All the clear mornings are gone, it looks like. It's coming in with a big marine layer. Warm. Yeah.
Nice winter.
Yeah, bye-bye. We've had 70, 80 degree days, you know, but the morning's all blanketed now. We don't have that clearness.
Yeah, killer fog morning some days.
Yeah, today too. I take some
so you got
shots.
The bucks up for the Pelican killers, huh?
You believe that? Another three. We've had 14 killed now. One in Long Beach. Most of them here in Pedro. So I'm a little slow and under a little bit today. But Brother Matt called and invited me to do the show, and it is an important day. It is Martin Luther King Day, which everybody should celebrate in, because man took incredible risk to help us live up to the words that in some ways were just propaganda until we put them into practice, and still are. We don't live them.
Keeping a dream alive.
Keeping it alive. And now I guess there's some bullige, you know, Bush last week goes and files a quote friend unquote of the court brief against affirmative action, right? Well, there's a Secretary of State Colin Powell now is saying, yeah, you got to have some quotas. So maybe there's division there in whatever executive branch of the garbage collection detail.
Yeah, he's probably pushing a lot of people's buttons and Colin.
He's trying to smooth it over. Well, it's figuring on who's doing most of going to be asked to do most of this fight. You know, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Sure is, doesn't need affirmative action, whatever, quota or something. KPFK yesterday had an interesting thing on that. In Masters Morning Brief, and this cat was telling these quotas, affirmative action things, were actually started by Nixon. And it was kind of a plot, you know, to turn working class white and black people against each other. You know, they really wanted it in the hiring, like in the auto industry.
Mm.
And it would dilute the unions and stuff or something.
And the tactics.
So, you know, the Rush Limbaugh ditto head mindset, and you know, what leads you to believe this is all liberal people put these things in and stuff, but just to set the record straight, it was Nixon folks who put these number quotas.
Just put a different spin on things.
Yeah, and anyway, it's all about living up to the word somehow. About Thomas Jefferson, right? All men create sisters, too. So anyway, those words were written many years before Emancipation Proclamation. And even many years after that, there were still people alive who had lived under slavery. And so, I've got a record here. I've played some of this before. This cat named John Henry Falk, who, by the way, had his own struggle. He's a cat from Texas. After the Army, started doing some character profiles for CBS and stuff. And then he got hit with the Hugh Act. Can you believe we actually had a committee determine what was American and not? I don't see how. But when people are scared, they'll vote for anything, obviously. They'll let anything exist. Anyway, this man was blacklisted. Being a military, where his comm sim, right? And he just didn't take it laying down like most of the other folks who went and hid. He hid. He actually went out and sued these people. What are they called? Aware. There was people putting out magazines that would identify people.
Mm.
And, it was called Aware. So he sues these people. I mean, this is in 57. And he won $3.5 million for damages, which was a lot of money in those days. And, so slavery, especially for, you know, black brothers and sisters, that was a very on the law, on the books law reality they had to deal with. But you understand that there's slavery of different types too, you know, that aren't so much on the books, aren't so much directed against a race of people, you know. And I have to say, I think a lot of slavery may be voluntarily people, because they think it's the right thing to do, and so they don't want to make trouble. Right? They want to. But you know what? And people say, justify, they'll say, you know, in the short term, you know, it makes things easier. But you know, in the long term, everyone suffers. We got to stand up against this stuff. There was a lot of protests this weekend.
Yeah.
It was in the paper, right? In towns all over. That's okay, too. I wish I could, you know, I fight my own war with the bugs now. But anyway, I'm going to play some of this John Henry Falk, where he talks to a lady, Miss Laura Smalley, by the 40s, there was only a few people left that actually lived under slavery that was still alive, and he got the chance to talk to some of them. And here's John Henry Falk with Miss Laura Smalley from Pedro's show.
Miss Laura Smalley was a lady I met down in between Hempstead and Navasota, Texas, in the Brazos Bottoms. That's the old plantation area of Texas, where a great number of planter families moved with their great numbers of slaves out into these bottom lands that lent themselves, like the Mississippi Delta, to great agricultural units. And Miss Smalley was raised on such a plantation as that. And as it, I think, would be interesting to know that when I first met her, it was a month before we really had any rapport at all, because it wasn't the custom then for blacks to reveal to white people the way they really felt about slavery or their current condition. It was to wear a mask. They usually wore a mask and nodded and bobbed their heads and tried to say agreeable things. And here now, 40 years ago, as this recording was done, Miss Smalley was that sort. However, after about a month of sitting about and visiting her every couple of days and winning her confidence and establishing rapport with her, she finally started really, what should I say, leveling with me about the way she had, the experiences she'd really had. And so I started her out, and that's the way she goes on this particular recording. Started her out by telling about the way children were raised on this big plantation. They were herded together in a hut, as she calls it, the slop room where they fed, that is actually the children's kitchen. But and she describes, as you will hear here, she describes them as trays. Actually, they were wooden troughs where the mush was just poured in there, and each child had a spoon and stood around it, and a big wooden spoon stood around it and scooped their food out and ate it. Also, of course, she talks about slopping the children like slopping hogs. You'll notice, too, that in her interview, she talks about the horn blowing and the women coming in from the fields to nurse their babies. Those were the infants. I think the plantation she was on was actually a slave breeding plantation, too, because they had a great number of children on it. And that was one of the marks of a slave breeding plantation, where they actually raised them to sell. Well, here's Miss Laura Smalley.
Tend to the children. Just like, you know, we bring a whole lot of children, you know, and put them down, you know, in one house. But somebody has to look over them, you know, and tend to them that way. That's a house full of little children. Mm-hmm. And if one act bad, you know, they whoop him. They whoop him too, the old woman. And if the old woman didn't tend to the children, they'd whoop her too. Mm-hmm. You know, to make her tend to the children, she wasn't doing nothing. Well, she wasn't a crooked woman like me, you know. She wasn't no crooked woman satisfied. She wasn't no crooked woman like me. And they'd whoop her. And they had trays. I don't know where you see the tray. Wooden tray, dug out, you know, all about that long. And all of them, you know, would get around that tray with spoons and just eat. I neglect that because I ate out of the tray. Mm. With spoons, you know, and eat, such as like mush or soup or something like that. Would feed them, you know, before 12 o'clock. And all them children get around there and just eat out of that. And that old woman, you know, she would tend to her. Her name Aunt Tisha. Yeah, I know that. Old woman named Aunt Tisha.
And just like slopping hogs.
It's just like a tray, you know, just like a tray, you know, you'd have. It's made just like a hog trough, you know. And clothes, you know, they'd wash them things and scald them out for the children. I didn't see them scald, but that's what they told me, they'd scald them out, you know, mm-hmm. for the children. And them children eat out of that thing, and that's with spoon. If one reaches spoon over in the other's hand, over in the other's plate, he's not hitting. Hit him, you know, knock that spoon back, you know, on his side. And that was when we were chilling, you know. Wasn't able to tend to no other children. I had a brother, though. He could tend to children. And, you know, just sit him down in a corner. And put this child, you know how little children, put this child between his legs and then hug his hand around his child. That's where he nursed him. Couldn't stand up with him. Couldn't, you know, just nothing, you know, shake him this way in the arm. I can remember that. I had a brother named Wright. And he just shake that child, set him in the floor.
And he was too little to pick him up.
Yes, sir. And if that child kicked much, he'd kick him over too, you know, and the old woman come down, strike him and get the child back in his arm. And they had certain times to come to them children. I think about this like a cow, I said, would go to the cave, you know. Uh-huh. You know, they have certain time. No cow come to his cave at night. Well, they come at 10 o'clock. Every day, 10 o'clock, to all them babies. Them what nurse, you know. Uh-huh. Them what didn't nurse, didn't come to them at all. The old lady fell. Them wasn't big enough to eat, you know. The old mother had time, no, to come. When that horn blowed, they blow the horn for their mothers, you know. They just come just like cows. It's funny, you know, coming to the children.
Out of the field.
How long did they nurse the baby?
Ma'am?
A couple of years? How long would they nurse the baby? So it was big enough to walk, I guess.
Yeah, some about 9 months or something like that, you know. Uh-huh. They nurse until it gets big enough, you know, to eat.
Uh-huh.
To get eat. And they come to every time, come down and nurse that baby at 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock in the day. Yes, ma'am. 10 o'clock in the day and 3 o'clock in the day. They come to that baby and nurse it. Yes, and twice a day. Come there and nurse that baby. He couldn't eat, you know. Mm-hmm. But one could eat, he wouldn't come till dinner time. But one little one what couldn't eat, they'd come to it. That old woman had a time and they're slopping them children. Yes, and I knew that. And then had a regular nurse, you know. Nurse, you never just see old mister with the baby and never no time. You had a regular nurse.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, you'd hire somebody to nurse, but be a grown woman nurse. Tend to that baby. And the kid, you know, kid never did care to old mister that it was hungry night or day. No, that was hungry. They cared that too. He tend to that baby. That baby slept with the old nurses and all.
Hmm.
Yes, I slept with him. Didn't have nothing to do. Carry the baby and sit there until he'd nurse. And then after he'd nurse, you know, then you carry back, tend to it. She didn't have to. Just she tend to it, you know, and give it to you. You give it to her and nurse it, care how cold it is. And you carry that baby back on in that room where he was.
Hmm.
And I know
well, did the mistress nurse the baby or did she have
yeah.
She nursed from the breast.
Uh-huh.
But see, she nursed this baby that he could be hungry. Well, then her nurse would bring it to her and let her nurse it. And then when she nursed, she'd hand it right back, night or day, you know. And took that baby night and day, hand it back to her. If that baby's any kind of sick, that nurse had sit up there at night and tend to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Well, more than... Ma'am.
Would take care of it,
no. Well, you see, that's done now, my dear.
That's right.
It's not done now, my dear. Well, my niece, granddaughter here, she take care of baby, and his mother hardly ever take it, and he said, no, this ain't slave time. And she
yeah.
never do hardly ever take it.
I know a lot of women do.
Yes. Don't tend to
Well, do you remember any of the slaves being sold? Do you remember any slave sellers, you know, men that would just buy and sell?
No, sir, I never did see it. I never did know that, you know. We hear talk of it, but then I read that after slave, I read. Mm-hmm. We hear talk of it. You see them talk about, you know, putting them on stumps, you know, or something high, you know, and beating them off like they did cattle.
Mm-hmm.
Beat them off like they did cattle.
None of your folks were ever sold, then?
No, sir. No, no, sold.
You were born right there and never did leave. You were.
Born right there and stayed there until I was about 9, 10 years old, maybe more. Stayed right there. We didn't know where to go.
Mm-hmm.
Mom and them didn't know where to go. You see, after freedom broke, just turned, just like you turned something out, you know. Didn't know where to go. That's just where to stay.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Didn't know where to go. Turn us out just like, you know, you turn out cattle. I say, anyway to do.
You remember when the Civil War was being fought?
Well, I can't remember much about it, but I remember this much. When Mr. Benton was gone a long time, looked like a long time, and I remember all the next morning, it's when he got up. Now, don't knock that back there. Well, we all got up and all of them went to the house to see old master. And I thought old master was dead, but he had been off to the war and come back. But then I didn't know, you know, into the war. I just knew he'd gone a long time. All the niggas gathered around to see old master again. You know, and old master didn't tell you, it was free.
He didn't tell you that?
No, he didn't tell. They waited there. I think now they said it waited them 6 months out of that. 6 months. and turn them loose on the 19th of June. That's why you know you celebrate that day, colorful. Celebrate that day. Miss Adeline, our mistress, you know, and just catch the by wrist this way, you know. Both of them pushed down in the rocking chair. And when Mr. Bethany come home, she was crying. And Mr. Bethany asked her what was the matter, you know. She told Miss Adeline, Martha Albers hurt her wrist. And she asked her then, says, what you doing in this house here? Hurting old mistress. Said she wasn't hurting old mistress. She's just old mistress. I'm hoping she saw her down. But I think that old woman, poor old woman, carried in the peach orchard and whipped her. And, you know, just tied her hand this way, you know, around the peach orchard tree. I remember that just as well. Looked like to me, I can. And round the tree and whipped her. And, well, she couldn't do nothing but just kick her feet, you know, just kick her feet. But it just had her clothes off down to her waist, you know. Just didn't have her plumb naked, but they had her clothes down to her waist. And every now and then they'd whip her, you know, and then snuff the pipe out on her, you know. Snuff the pipe out on her. You know the embers in the pipe. I'm where you'll see the pipe smoking.
Blow them out on her?
Mm-hmm.
Good Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Have mercy.
Blow them out on her.
Did she scream?
Yeah, I reckon she was. I reckon she did. But you see, we was dying to go out there, where it was, you know, because our old marshal would whoop us, and then Uncle Saul. Uncle Saul would whoop us. You see, that was the overseer, Uncle Saul. Her papa was an overseer. But he had a whooper. And whooped her, too. And he sure did whoop her. Well, he whooped her so then at night they had to grease her back. Grease her back. I don't know what kind of grease they had, but they sure grease her back. At night, you know, that way. He just grease her back. And so after they whooped her so long that way, they quit. They quit and give her dinner. Late that evening, they give her dinner. Eat late that night. Well, she's so whooped so bad then, you know, she didn't want to eat, you know. If you put whoop you half a day, you ain't want to eat. No.
Right.
Because a little child, you can whoop a little child now. He'll get mad, you know, and don't want to eat nothing. So I'm sorry, then he'll go whoop my mama. We had a brother, the oldest brother named Cal. And he was going to whoop my mother's boy, Pack Water. And she was going to fight him.
Is that right?
Yes, she was going to fight him. You see, one portion of the people belonged to Mr. Bethany, and one portion, you know, belonged to his wife. Wife, you know, just like, you know, you have a lot of niggas, you know, and they give you a portion of them, and your wife portion of them. Her people give you a heap of them, and then your people give you some. Well, that makes two parts. You got a part, and your wife got a part, you know, of colored folks out of the way. And so Miss Adeline wouldn't let Uncle Saul whoop her. That was her side, you know, that's one of her niggas. She wouldn't let Uncle Saul whoop her that way. Well, then they called her a sassy nigga. Sassy called wouldn't let Uncle Saul whoop her about the boy packing water. You know, he packed water, you know, all day. And if Uncle Saul, if they stayed late, you know, and when they got to the water where Uncle Saul was, the overseer was, he just pitched it out. Just pitched it out. The sassy children could get to her. And when she whooped him, they let him. Yes, he whooped him, they let him. So Uncle Jesse, you know, he was stepdad, he wasn't one of Mr. Bethany's niggas. He was a Payne's.
My
old stepdad, yes, but he was a Payne's. Yeah, he was a Payne's. And he'd do anything, you know, they couldn't whoop him. And his head was red, and he was red.
Well, where'd he come from?
Well, I think he come from like Louisiana, somewhere. Anyhow, he come somewhere. I couldn't exactly tell where he come from. Because my mama come from Mississippi. And when he back up, you know, I don't know where y'all ever see the corner fence.
Yes, the one that rail fence.
Yes. Well, he back up in that, and they wouldn't whoop him. He'd get him a stick and keep him off. Yes, sir. And he's a great big old man, you know, and he wouldn't let them whoop him, you see. And then the master wouldn't let them hurt him, because he wouldn't let the overseer know they'd whoop you. The master make them whoop you when the overseer didn't feed them. And they wouldn't let him whoop them at all, wouldn't know. And the old master would tell him, roll him to kill him or something like that. Don't hurt him. But don't kill him, you know, but whip him. He wouldn't whoop him, I tell you. No, he wouldn't whoop him. No, sir, he wouldn't
well,
whoop
how
him.
Would they, how would they punish him then?
Give me a corn. Give me a corn. That's like, you know, you give me a year of corn, and that'll be for my dinner or my breakfast. When you come home to dinner, he said he'd give me a year of corn. Said he shed it off and plow along and eat it. Just plow along and eat it. Night comes, he'd give me a year of corn, and that's the way they say it, you know, punching him, you know, wouldn't give him nothing to eat. And say, look like he's moving along too slow, too fast with that, you know, too good. Too good with that, you know, just giving him corn. And he's eating it, you know, and drinking water and going just the same. That's so they wouldn't give him none. Give him none. Wouldn't give him nothing, you know, but let him drink water, you know. And he lived just the same. And he lived with Mama 32 years before he died. Before he died. And he never did have a scar on the old boss put on him.
Wonder what they paid for this your stepdaddy. How come?
The pain, you know, he was a pain. Just a trade brimble, what you call it. But you see, I don't know what they paid for him. They bought him, you know.
And I guess he was worth so much they didn't want to hurt him.
Didn't want to hurt him. And you see, he had belonged to two sets of folks. Two sets of people, you know. You see, he was belonged to a pain. Then he belonged to some people, you know, Brimble. They all stayed, but you see, he wouldn't do right, and they'd sell him. Just sell him, you know. Just like, you know, I was your nigga, you know, I wouldn't act right. You'd sell me to somebody else. And wouldn't act right, brother, be fighting with nothing, a good hand. You'd sell him to somebody else. That's where that would go here, baby.
I see.
That's where they'd done him.
Well, what about getting married? How did they go about marrying the slave?
Well, they told me they jumped over the broom backwards. I don't know. They told me to jump over the broom backer. I don't know.
Well, did they have church? Did the slaves
no,
have church?
No, I never remember no church. Mama said the only church, I didn't remember that part of all the church they would have being a tub of water, sitting just like this thing is, you know, and that would catch your voice. And they would have church around that tub, all of them get around the tub.
Old Moss didn't want them having church.
They don't have no church. No, didn't have no church. And, the old master come along with one of them. One of them was there having church around the tub, and he's down praying. And said he was down there praying, just a praying. The old master come in, he just a praying. He come in, he did, and told him, get up from there. He didn't get up, he just a praying. He said, the old master come in, so whoop me. He quit praying and then asked the Lord, have mercy on the old master. Lord, have mercy on the old master. Lord, have mercy on old master. Old master always hit him with a bull hook. He's hollering, have mercy on old master. And that old master whipped him and he kept up, wouldn't get up, you know, just flinch, you know, just like a push, you know, and push and hit you, you know, and flinch. He just prayed for old master. The old master stepped back and said, I'm great minded to kick you naked. I'm great minded to kick you naked. Nigga never to stop praying, you know, he had to go off and leave and pray. He'd go off and leave and pray. Because he wouldn't stop. Well, that was through the Lord, you know, that's called that.
Yeah, so the Lord works a lot of things.
Yes, of course, the Lord was suffering him to stay down there and get that whooping and pray. You know, just keep a praying. And I think I jumped up. I don't know. Seemed like me, I jumped up. Because they're whooping me that way, I jumped up. But I don't know about the church when it first started up no more than, you know, when I was a child, you know, they didn't have no church, you know. In no house, you know, the head in the trees. Under trees, yes, ma'am, under trees.
Brush arbors.
Yes, sir. Some that didn't have no brush arbors, they just had it under the tree. You see, just had it under the tree. And I don't know, you know, the cause of the churches and when they started, but I know when Mom and them used to go to church, we'd under the trees, you know, under the trees. Didn't have no church houses much then. Just like, you know, you get a big old tree and clean it all out from under it and make a dry stump down, you know, and make benches on it, you know, that would have church. And
well, what kind of songs did they sing? Do you remember the names of any of the songs?
No, I can't remember. I can't read. I never remember the song. But they didn't sing songs like the song now, you know. They sing them old songs, you know, about Amazing Grace, how sweet it sounds, you know, all like that. But, you know, I can't recollect all of them. I can't recollect them since I've been grown.
Well,
no, sir. Can't recollect them. And that's what most of the song, Amazing Grace, how sweet it sounds, you know, all like that. And I don't know hardly all of them old songs. Sometimes I can bring some old songs up, and then again I can't.
Well, you ever hear one called Couldn't Hear Nobody Pray?
Yes, I hear that.
Was that one they sang way back?
No, they didn't sing that way back in the time. Now, they sung an old song about the Thunderbolt Rally, Poor Sinner Stand So Idle. Lord, I got a union in my soul.
How does that go?
Let me see, I sing a little of it.
Seem like
the thunderbolt rattling, poor sinner stand so idle, son. Lord, I got union in my soul, I ain't got long to stay.
I've heard it. Can you sing the rest of that? That's a good, that's a show fine.
Lord, I ain't got long to stay, Lord, I ain't got long to stay in the world, ain't got long to stay. God's calling me and I ain't got long to stay. Lord, I ain't got long to stay in the world, I ain't got long to stay. Goodbye, and I ain't got long to stay. Lord, I ain't got long to stay in the world, I ain't got long to stay. God's calling me and I ain't got long to stay. Lord, I ain't got long to stay in the world, I ain't got long to stay. Farewell, I ain't got long to stay. Lord, I ain't got long to stay in the world, I ain't got long. I ain't got much of a voice for singing.
Well, you got a good voice. Oh, have mercy,
child.
I know you sing that.
I ain't got no voice for singing.
Do you remember a song called Go Down Moses?
Go Down Moses.
Tell old Pharaoh, let my people go.
I never did know them. Go down Moses.
Did you ever hear that one they call Swing Low, Sweet Chariot? Did you ever hear the folks sing that?
Yes, I've heard the folks sing that, but I never did know it. What Swing Low, Sweet Chariot is. They weren't going to carry me home. I never could learn that. I know one song. All my memories now, man, yeah. I don't know now what that song is, but I know it though.
How does it go?
I'm trying to think of it now. It goes about praying to the Lord, save my soul. But I can't get it together. You know, if I can't get it together, you know, I don't want to sing it. I can't get it together. Well, sometimes, you know, that way I get them wrong. And to be strong wrong.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
Wrong. Well, what about one of these songs, Sinner Don't Let This Harvest Pass? Did you ever hear that one?
No, sir. I never knew that. Let This Harvest Pass.
What's that other one about? Is it on board,
Little Sean? Oh, yes. The Old Ship of Zion. Do you remember that one?
I remember it, but I don't know it all.
Get on board, get on board.
I don't know all of it. I just know a little of it. Get on board, little children, get on board. You don't sing it, you know, that way.
How do you sing it?
Shippers, I am, get on the board. I don't know much of that. I have got my mother. Come on, the ship of Zion, get on board, little children. I can't get that together. I don't know many songs. These are late notes, a late song. No, no.
Has church services changed much from the way they used to
be?
Yes, sir. How have they changed?
The people have changed up from singing, you know, and prayed up from religion and everything, you know, that way.
Is that right?
Yes, I've been trained up from the religion and everything that way. I'm trying to get the oldest song like that. I can't get it straight. Yeah, well, you know this about being saved all day.
No, I never heard that, and I'd like to hear it. How does it go?
I've been sick all day, no evil have I done. Been sick all day, no evil have I done. Been sick all day, no evil have I done. Sanctified and holy, no evil have I done. Yes, I love everybody, no evil have I done. Yes, I love everybody, no evil have I done. Good Lord, yes, I love everybody, no evil have I done. Sanctified and holy, no evil have I done. Haven't lied on nobody. No evil have I done. Haven't lied on nobody. No evil have I done. Haven't lied on nobody. No evil have I done. Sanctified and holy. No evil have I done. Yes, I love everybody. No evil have I done. Yes, I love everybody. No evil have I done, good Lord. Yes, I love everybody. No evil have I done. Sanctified and holy. No evil have I done.
Well, that's a good one. Where'd you hear that one?
Oh, we learned, they've had some of that in our church, you know, up here.
Uh-huh.
There's some of that sometime in our church.
Can you remember any that the slaves sung? Or did they ever sing any songs?
No. I never said in slavery. But I hear them sing some after freedom, I know them. Some. But I, you know, them's way back songs. I can't hardly sing none of them. And one of them, I seem to remember. My old stepdaddy used to sing it about the thunderbolt rattling and poor sinner stand to Allison. Lord, I got a union in my soul, and I ain't got a long stay. Didn't I tell you that, do you?
Yeah. Stepdaddy.
Yes, sir. That old red man. He's some that old time.
What were the preachers like in those days?
I don't know, sir. I never remember no preachers in slavery time. I never remember. Of course, you know, I wasn't very so old, but you know, I could remember some things. I wouldn't say so old, but I could remember some things. But I never remember no preacher.
They didn't allow them to have preachers, did they?
I never remember none.
Mm-hmm.
I never remember none.
Just sing and pray, huh?
That's all I would hear them sing. Then, you know, the night come, I'd go sleep then pretty soon.
Mm-hmm.
Me, most of that sing, these here song would say, you know, after you know, a good big girl, you know, used to go to church. And I'm all, but, you know. But they never did.
Well, they had preachers under the arbors, didn't they?
I know one of them. His name Uncle Mark. I never will forget him.
Was he good?
Oh, yes, an old man. Name Uncle Mark. He'd preach. Yes, sir.
Was he a good preacher?
Yes, sir. He's a good preacher. Name Uncle Mark.
Preach and like they do now?
Ma'am.
Did he preach like they do now?
They better. They preach better than I reckon. Oh, you see, they was then. Now they preach by scripts most of the time. But then, you know, they just preach by the Spirit. You know, just the Spirit led them, you know. And if they could preach good without a Bible, call it, you see, they had religion, you know. And,
that's right.
And, you know, the Lord would teach them, you know. Mm-hmm. Teach them what to say and how to say, you know. That's what it was then. But now, you know, it preaches by scripts.
Thank you.
Watt from Pedro show coming at you. Whoa. There's nothing there.
Whoa, really?
1, 2. One.
Whoa. Hello. Okay. Had a problem there. Cord. Maybe a bad cord. Anyway, Watt from Pedro show. Coming to the end of first hour, January 20, 2003. Happy MLK Day. That was TVBC, Minneapolis Band with Mahler. Before that was Fishbone doing Black Flowers. And that big spiel before that was John Henry Falk talking to Miss Laura Smalley, one of the last people who had to live under slavery, obviously as a little girl, because that was recorded in the 40s, who got to talk about it. We got actual voice. Somebody had to live under that horrible system. So hope if you found it inspiring, we're going to play some more of her later. But hold tight for hour two. January 20, 2003. It's the second hour of the Watt from Pedro show.
thank you. I'm fasting.
That was the Five Chin 400 band out of Albany with Hey God, Stop Pushing. Stop Pushing Me. I don't know, Brother Matt, where's the list there?
Ugh.
Brother Matt's getting ready for a spin cycle, so stuff had to move. Yeah, it was called Hey God, Stop Pushing from their 7-inch. That was pretty wild, huh? And we started off the second hour here with Way Beyond Land. And a tune called Daddy Soldier. And with that, and no further ado, Brother Matt and Spinside.
Revolucionario de los Trabajadores Centroamericanos.
Cuéntele algo.
Father Giorgio Marcato teaches.
Ein wesentlicher Punkt ist, es gab kein
Stück.
British news, and that'll be followed by some amazing new music from
Brother Matt. Yeah.
We'll be right back.
tonight. Let us not forget. There is hope.
apocalypse, we'll be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual. Free at last! Free at last! Thank God Almighty! We are free at last!
Hatrohu, Janvaming Song, no, Huya Hatro, Kitty Tuchang, your Kitty for Lang, your Nyoto, the picture Tuchang.
Get to there from
Watt from Pedro Show. That's Carlos Guitarlos on his forthcoming record called Straight from the Heart. And that's a song he did with John Doe there called Two Tavern Town. Before that, we had a very skippy version of my old single of The Clash doing City of the Dead. And trying to get some of that X-ray specs vibe with some saxophone. Great to hear Carlos. He almost died of congestive heart failure, you know. So
yeah,
me and Pete Mazich went and recorded up with him a couple songs. The record will come out soon. His cousin asked me to do this. Asked me to write something too. I got to write up a little spiel for him. He goes to me, you know, no one would want to hear what I write, but if you wrote it, what?
Yeah, his name was cool. He's working hard.
Oh shit, the EQs were all funky. There we go. Not too bad, because I didn't use that channel yet, but I will on this one. Good thing I spotted that. Here's Chaz. Chaz is this cat who was playing synthesizer in theremin for John Petkovich's Cobra Verde. I brought him on tour. He hasn't been on the last couple, though, because he's a teacher.
Yeah.
Right? Cleveland State, I think.
Got a cool, sweet gig.
University there. Yeah, he teaches the kids music, rock and roll.
History
of rock and roll. Here's his band called Einstein's Secret Orchestra here on the Watt from Pedro Show. We'll be right back. Pedro Show. That was Watt from Pedro Show. Sorry about that. Got a problem with his cord here. Anyway, that was Kabuki 5000 with the Mailman. Mailman, or Mr. Mailman. It's called Mr. Mailman.
Good deal.
As mail. No, but it ain't M-A-I-L, Brother Matt. Oh, it's M-A-L-E.
That's different.
Yeah. What knocks but don't come in. Here's the old George Hurley joke. What knocks but don't come in. It ain't the mailman. Okay. Terrible. Before that, we heard Chaz's band, Einstein's Secret Orchestra, with Life at the Rocket Factory.
Cool.
Life in the Rocket Factory, I'm sorry. Coming on the end of the second hour here, the January 20, 2003 edition of Watt from Pedro Show with Watt, kind of subdued with sickness onslaught, but fighting back by trying to stay calm and just plow through.
Stay calm.
Great essential assistance by Brother Matt helped me persevere through this travail.
Battling on.
Brother Matt's got a new couch in the pad in Love Grotto here.
Styling, huh?
Yeah.
Up there in the throne mode.
Little elevated. Throne mode, elevated bleacher box, pressure. Peanut gallery thing.
Yeah,
a lot of cushion right here.
I think cushy.
Yeah, I like it. And you're getting this donate from your ma going for new Dark Side PC.
PC flip-flop.
Brother Matt's got both worlds, Mac and the Dark Side, so...
Shifting gears.
Shifting it up.
So, that's the deal.
We do this show, though, on the Mac.
Yeah, all Mac action.
All Mac. Mac Daddy. So hold tight. Coming up with our three. Pert near soon.
Wow.
January 20, 2003. Third hour of the Watt from Pedro Show. Happy MLK Day. Here's part 20. Of the fourth tower of Inverness.
As we look in upon the great old Victorian mansion, we see Jack Flanders and the lovely Madonna Vampira slowly strolling through the gardens of Inverness.
Don't you ever wish that you weren't a vampire?
Oh, Jack, you really are a moralist, aren't you?
Well?
Being a vampire is far more exciting than being an average, bored, trapped housewife.
Yeah, well, that is an extreme.
Is it?
I mean, there's other things you could have been.
Do you want to make a good woman out of me?
Oh, Lord.
Hmm?
Well, just, oh, Lord.
You silly dreamer.
I suppose I am. What do you dream about?
An ideal, which I know I would destroy if I ever attained it.
Doesn't that bother you?
It's very honest, Jack. We all destroy our ideals.
Oh, I don't know about that. What if one's ideal is to become God?
Then you'd destroy that person who wants to become God. You'd no longer be Jack. Oh, let's change the subject. Do you know how vampires originally came about?
Oh, sure. Count Dracula.
Long before that. There was a cult of people who would steal bodies right after they died and suck their blood for the prana. They never killed people. But the peasants, hearing about such things, thought they did it for the blood, so the myth of vampires came about. We energy vampires have come a long way since then.
Well, it's nice to know your roots.
Jack, you dreamer.
Yep.
I suppose you hear that.
Hear what?
That music you keep chasing.
The 50s stuff? No, I don't hear any. Hey, that's it. Coming from the fourth tower, all right. I'm going to get to that music before it stops.
Better hurry. It's a short single. You have 2 minutes and 21 seconds.
I'm off.
Good luck. You're going to need it. Oh, Jack, I don't know what to do. I can't let it go.
And so once again, Jack Flanders takes to the hollow walls within the old mansion. He races through narrow passages, around hairpin turns all the time, the clock ticking against him. for he must reach the music before it stops. Onward he dashes, ducking, twisting, digging. Finally, he reaches the mirror door at the base of the fourth tower. He opens it swiftly, takes several giant steps, and plunges headlong through the oval mirror, the last thin membrane that separates Jack from the tower's interior.
Good, good. The ladder is still there, forming a bridge across that chasm of empty space. 1 minute and 7 seconds left.
Jack scampers across the ladder, up on his feet and up the steps, past rows of glowing torches, torches that look as though they've hung there burning for eternities. Jack arrives at the heavy oak door. 41 seconds.
Wait a minute. It's not coming from that door. The music is higher up in the tower.
Upward he climbs, the music drawing nearer with every step. 18 seconds.
I'll do it. I'll get to that music if it takes my last gasp of breath. Ah, a door.
9 seconds. Jack hesitates a moment before the door, cocks his head, and listens.
It's coming from in here, all right. In I go. What the? A river. Oh, it's pretty big, too. And clear. And deep. Well, this is a fine pickle. Hey, there's a sign over there. I wonder what it says. He who tastes not, knows not. What does that mean? I guess I'll have a drink. The water looks tasty, and I'm as dry as a dog. The water's so clear.
Jack stoops down and drinks of the river. As he drinks, he hears the sound of something approaching through the water. He looks up, and there, skimming across the water, coming in his direction, is a raft, pulled by an old ferryman. Jack stands up as the raft glides to the steps that lead down from the open doorway.
Excuse me, what's the name of this land I've come upon?
The ferryman is silent, but Jack can see a tiny smile on his lips, and the wrinkles about the corners of his eyes gather together in silent laughter. The ferryman motions for Jack to climb aboard.
I guess it's safe. He seems to have pretty good vibes.
And across the waters, the ferryman guides his raft.
We're moving downstream. But apparently we're making our way toward the other side. Strange country mountains in the distance, and I can see painted temples off in the foothills. I can hear music, but I see no one. The trees are tall like poplars, but no, they're more like the trees on the islands of Greece. Somehow the trees seem almost human. They don't look so passive as trees normally do. The whole land is so alive, as though I can feel it breathing.
They continue downstream, the ferryman gently edging the raft closer and closer to the opposite bank. The vegetation along the riverbank appears to become thicker as they move downstream. Finally, the ferryman heads his raft directly into a tall row of reeds. They part before the blunt bow, and with a final heave, the ferryman pushes through, and there they are, in a narrow channel. There's vines crisscrossing overhead with enormous tubular flowers hanging down, swaying in the soft breeze. These giant jungle flowers have great petals that gently brush Jack's face as they pass beneath. The scents radiating from the petals are thick, lush, exotic, stirring feelings that easily cloud his alertness. He finds himself relaxing, slowly turning himself over to a beauty that overpowers his every sense. Finally, the channel opens, and there is a lake. Or is it merely a pool? So intoxicated by his senses, Jack no longer knows or cares to know.
Row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Merrily, 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 merrily. Life's but a dream.
The old ferryman stops pulling his raft. They float there in silence. Jack begins to revive from his dreamy state, but there's something in the air. Anticipation, yes. But they're waiting for someone. And still, nothing happens. They drift closer and closer to the grassy bank. The old ferryman perfectly still, waiting. And then it happens. Faint at first, but unmistakable. That familiar song. Music from an era long past. Jack is now fully awake. Every muscle is tensed. Every sense is alert, ready for action. Yet his mind is calm, almost relaxed, as it awaits to process the data his senses are about to feed into the mind. But what happens next? Not even the most alert among us could have anticipated. For Jack looked down at the clear, calm water. For just a moment, he saw a reflection of a person he'd never seen before. And yet was so truly himself, it was as though he'd seen his very soul. For in that moment, his heart had been open, and the next moment it was gone. As his mind tried desperately to bring back the image, he felt his eyes being drawn up away from the reflection. For when he looked up, he saw a woman in a boat of sandal with silver oars floating on a pool of white lotuses. In the bow of the craft stood a beautiful old jukebox, silent, but its colors issued forth rays that touched all within its reach. Jack remembered his dream, where an ascetic seated alone in a cave emanated such striking pure colors that he touched the whole universe. For here the changing reds and yellows and greens and blues and purples that radiated from the beautiful Wurlitzer not only reflected across the gentle rippling waters of the pool, but also extended to the clouds high above that drifted lazily in the warm summer breeze. For the ever-changing colors extended out like a brilliant rainbow aura that touched the clouds and caressed their soft underbellies. As Jack stands there spellbound, he can feel the whole landscape breathing with the rhythms of these ever-changing colors. And the woman in the boat, resting her chin on one hand, and with the other dropping one by one into the water the petals of a lotus red as blood. And her lips move, for she is counting the petals as they fall. She looks upon the lotuses that float in the pool, and her glance falls upon those snowy flowers and turns their tint to blue. She stands before him like the new moon at the close of the day, a pure form of exquisite beauty, a crystal without a flaw, tinged with the color of heaven. And her eyes are fringed with long black lashes, looking like rain clouds hanging low to hide the rising moon, undulating as she moves, like a swan, and sways like a flower waving in the wind, for her waist could be grasped by the fist, and her bosom is glorious like the swell of an ocean wave, while the flashing jewels in which she is covered all over change color, as if with envy at being outshone by the play of her eyes. Jack stands still, holding his breath, gazing at her, fearing to move, for he thinks it is a dream. And for the first time, she looks at him and smiles, bathing him with the color of her eyes. And it seems to him he stands in a pool of color formed by the essence of all blue lotuses in the world. He stands there, intoxicated by those two great eyes. He plunges into their sea and is drowned in it, and the whole world seems to him to be made of lotus blue.
back wall, which one is up and down? Here's something for you to hear. Here's something for you to fear. Row, 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 steamboat. Boat that can open the door. We all rock the sight. Row, 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 steamboat. Boat that can open the door. We all rock the sight. Generation of a group of wild aliens. Chuck them in a dump and put them saucer and send them up to heaven. Watch the smoke fall from all the bales. Watch the smoke come from all the hells. Row, 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 steamboat. Boat that you don't let go. It's all right tonight. Row, 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 steamboat. Boat that you don't let go. It's all right tonight. Row, 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 steamboat. Boat that you don't let go. It's all right tonight. Just tonight. Thank you.
Okay, Watt from Pedro Show. That was kind of a sloppy version there of The Red and the Black, live in Albany, 2001, October 14. Ed from Ohio joining myself, Tom Watson, Jerry Trubtich, Mike Watt and the Putt Player, Mike Watt and the John and Terry Show. That's not pair of pliers. Sorry. Before that, we had a band from Canada called Ditch doing Steamboat. BMQ before that with I didn't know the name of the song because they don't list the things on the CD. Scott Boxendale, the cat in Denver, sold Tom Watson a Telecaster on a trade-in deal. Pretty nice one. And we started the third hour off with part 20 of the Fourth Tower Inverness, almost about two-thirds of the way through Jack's adventures there.
Multidimensional.
Yes. Multi. Searching for that jukebox. Okay, here's more of Miss Laura Smalley. One of the last people to live through slavery and be able to talk about it with John Henry Falk here. Watt from Pedro Show. Happy Martin Luther King Jr. Day.
The only thing that I ever seen was over, it was here, and they wasn't why. I used to hear Mama talk about them when she was a child. She said that one morning she went out to the old mistress, she was big enough to know how to hand water. And said when she got to the door, opened the door, that the stars was falling. Now when the stars was falling that morning, and said she didn't know, and said old mistress looked out and says, don't you go out there. She says, stars. She said she just went like meat frying, you know, so the whole earth was just lit up, you know. Said they just going like meat frying. Just before day. And said that when she went to go to the spring, and the stars fell, so when it quit falling to daylight, and said she met some Indians down there, you know, to pack water from a spring, she said, and said she met some wild Indians. And they had, the old Mrs. Cook had given her a piece of bread, and they give her, they give them the beads, you know, give her some beads, you know, and took the bread. And she took the bread from her and said every time she go step in front or go walk, they step in front of her. Every time she go walk, they step in front of her. And said finally at last, they had the bread up and rest the hand back, you know, and took the beads away from her. And that said they was wild, took it away from her. And said she went back to the house crying, said, she told she met some people and took her bread and gave her some beads and then took the beads away from her. And that's only ever I hear talk of wild Indians in my life. I never hear talk of no Indians. Ain't never seen none. Until I don't know where them was Indians, what? That all them feathers in the hat.
Uh-huh.
In the head.
Uh-huh.
I've seen some of them.
Those are Indians.
When I was a child, I don't know whether them was an Indian or not. And you see, when I was a child, they'd go in droves. That's in droves. And come in the house, you know, and take what they wanted. Some deep like that. You never take nothing but some tea like that. And then get out, you know, and make fun of them, grin, you know, and laugh, you know.
No, is
that right? Yes, a laugh. Take it. All folks are there, they go and take it. If they're off their hand, you know, for it, and made the motion, you just well go get to them or let them go. They go out in there and get that stuff. Mama had an old chicken once. Great big old chicken. And they didn't have them but pots then. Didn't have no stove. Just had pots, as I recollected. Had pots.
Mm-hmm.
And taking, had that chicken in there in that pot. And I don't know what that man said to you know, to the other now those. He said some kind of language we didn't hear. Then he come in with a bucket. And just take that pot and put all that stuff in that pot with them feathers in his head, in his hatch, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Put all that vittles in that pot. And those little children stand around there hungry. And they had long, high feathers in their head. And they had, and them babies tied on their back.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's right.
They tied on their back. Do? Yes, I didn't know what they was.
What did they make the bedding out of in those days, the folks? What did the neat colored folks use for bedding?
They have quilts like they have now.
I mean, what did they make mattresses out of? How would they make these feather beds?
You know, they get that old chicken, you know, and things like that. And that's what they get them off of goose, you know. Some of them are wise enough to have goose feathers. But when I was coming up, tell the truth about it, and I was coming up, we go out and cut our grass, cut it. You know, just take a hole and cut it. And let take it off and pile it off and let it dry and put that in the mattress.
And sleep on that?
Yes, sir.
Did it sleep pretty good?
Yes, sir. It slept pretty good. And it wouldn't ground up neither. You know, we cut it just, and it stayed.
Mm-hmm.
But if you wait till the frost fell on, it'll ground up fine.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. We're chilling now. Mom would have us two, them old big old hay mattresses on the bed, and we thought we were something. We thought we were in something.
What about, Johnny, that business of having some of the Negroes, good hands, you know, and good women, good men, going off and breeding them like cattle? Do you remember anything about that?
No, I didn't know and see it. They wouldn't let children know that, you know, but I heard it after. After that, they do that. But Stephen is coming up and wouldn't let us know anything about them like that. But they say that was sure so. You know, just like a big, fine-looking woman, a big, fine-looking man, you know. Old boss wants, you know, children from them, you know. They just fasten them up in the house or somewhere, you know, going off and leave them in there. You want to breed them like they were hogs or horses, something like that, I said.
That sounds like it.
Yes, sir. And they said that's what they used to do in slavery time.
Did they whip the slaves much? Do you remember how, whether they whipped them?
The biggest whipping ever I know to get to Martha Albert. The biggest whipping that ever I know. Mr. Benton, they didn't whip his niggas much. They had to do something mighty, mighty, you know, bad for him to whip them.
Well, did the slaves ever try to slip away? Did they ever try to run off?
No, not on the place where we was. I never hear them say they run off over there, run off. Other places I hear them stay in the woods, and so long until they wear the clothes off them, slip up. Now I heard Mama say when she was a girl, no, she brought Mississippi. When she was a girl, that there one old woman run off. She did run off. They beat her so she run off. And every night she slip home and somebody have her something to eat. And she get that vittles and go on back to stay in the woods. And they, you know, just they tell the other, you know, could you see, I don't know what their name, see so-and-so, ever see them? Say, no. Well, you tell them if they come home, we ain't gonna whoop them if they come home. Well, that'd be all the way, you know, they come. Said once this man stayed in the woods so long, tell you his hair on him long like a dog.
Mm-hmm.
Just grow up, you know, and stayed in the woods. Just stayed in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
And they couldn't get him out.
Well, did any of them run off and get plumb free? Were they? You ever hear
anybody
talk about them?
I hear them talk about them going off, you know, going off to places where they're free. But I hear her say, I didn't know that. She said just like she'd be some white people, you know, would nigger come along, you know, and he just get him off, you know, take him, carry him off where he wouldn't be no, tell him wouldn't be no slave or wouldn't be beat up, you know, and carry him off that way.
Mm-hmm.
Still, two, three, they'd say the white folk would catch them, three or four, you know, colored people off that way. Or pick up children, say they used to go in the wagons, you know, go around wagon with the covers on them. I've seen covers since I've been beating up with wagon. With covers on them, and just take them and go on. When I was a child, I see a little boy, a man jumped out of the old covered wagon and caught the child. And caught him. And got for his bell with the child. Well, I reckon that was a slave, I don't know. That was a slave, but they caught him. Caught the child. And I had a grandchild that taken off.
Is that right? Who took him off?
The show people. I didn't took him off. I don't know. They took him off. It's Sheila.
What do you know?
Yes, they took that child off. Mom didn't have but that one. And they took it off.
Well, come on, boy.
Took it off. But they got it at the end of time.
Well, can you remember how the what happened when they set you free? Do you remember what the can you remember how the old master acted when they?
No, so I can't remember that. You know, can't remember that. But I remember, you know, the time they give them a big dinner, you know, on the 19th.
Is that right?
On the 19th, you know, that's called. They said have they give them a big dinner on the 19th. But now we didn't know. I don't hide the other side of the folks, you know, freedom. We didn't know. They just thought, you know, just feeding us, you know. Just had a long table. And just had just little everything you want to eat, you know, and drink, you know. And, that, and they said that was on the 19th. And everything you want to eat and drink. Well, you see, I didn't know what that was for. I just, you know, it wasn't wise like children is now. You know, anything go up now, a child 6, 7 years old can tell you.
That's right.
Yes, it wasn't wise, yeah. That's what he done. Give us a big dinner, Mr. Bethany. Yeah. Mr. Bethany got Ms. Mill. And Mr. Bethany's granddaughter stay right across town. And she got a daughter stay out here in the country. Our young mister.
Mm. Uh-huh.
And care that dog out there.
Yeah, that's
care that dog out there. And they couldn't do the dog no good, you know. And I was there washing. I washed for him. They were rich folks. And I washed for them. And one morning, I went back to Ann. I had all this Ann from. Went back to Ann. And she was crying. And I said, Miss Hass, I said, what's the matter with you? May I ask you, please, ma'am? She said, yes. She said, my dog did. I said, well, sure. Cried over the dog, you know. And I thought there's something there. She said, my dog did. And she said, well, I'm going out there to get her. We going out there to get it today and get somebody to bury her. Says, we got to have a nice box for that dog.
Hmm.
And just cried, and they had them buried her. Then when she come back home, I got her out there and had them buried her. I said, Miss Harris, I said, you didn't bring her home to bury her. Says, no, I didn't want to bring her home to bury her. She said, it hadn't been so far, I'd have carried my dog home back home and buried her. I said, well, Lord, how much, Miss Harris? I would not say it that way. And she just cried over that dog.
Yeah, they have almost like a real hospital. You know, they have little boxes and all with screens in front of them. You put the dogs in. They feed
yes.
them and all that. And walk them out.
Real
fine place,
huh? I would love to.
Have you ever been down in Brazos Bottoms, any?
Me? Uh-huh. Yes, I've stayed down in Brazos Bottoms. These I didn't say stay right down in it, but didn't see I went down there. I wake down there, cropped in there. And when I moved over here, I just moved out of the bottom. Waking on, right on the banks of the river.
Hmm.
And said,
they sure make some crops down there.
Yes, I couldn't go close to the river. On the county, you know, afraid the horse would get scared, look down in the river and run off with me. And I used to plow. Yeah, I went down in that bad bottom.
On whose place were you working in? Payne?
No, I've been waking on Payne, but I waked in. On the book place, they call it book place. Austin, you know, Austin Chillen, I called it. Had willed to Austin Chillen. Then, they call it book place. Had willed it to the Austin Chillen schools, you know. And that's where I went at. About 4 or 5 years. Down there on that book place.
Well, they claim in some parts of the bottoms they won't let the folks leave the place they're living on. Colored folks. You know, just make them stay there and work year after year.
Well,
that means debt.
Yes, well, that must be some way down the bottom somewhere. Well, down there on the book place, some places was. They let you go just as far and get as you want to go, you know. And then see if they know your crop wasn't going to clear it, you know. And then, so next year you'd have to stay and wake out to death.
Mm-hmm.
If it didn't, you know, take all your horses, cows, and everything away from you.
Well,
Leave with nothing. You see, that's why they keep them there, you know, that way. Mm-hmm. To show that, you know, they could get everything they had if they didn't wait. And good way for some of them to just take and give everything they had up and go on off. Give everything up. They see it is going. Sure enough, they beg you to stay, you know, another year. Get anything you wanted, any kind of money. But now you're going to stay that next year because your crop ain't going to clash, you know. It's going to clash. You let you stay. And feed you to the hives. And I had children like this girl here. She any kind of dress she wanted, they let you take it up. But now when the crop comes, they take every bit of that crop. You wouldn't have nothing to live on, you know, next year till next year come. Well, that old account right there for Christmas, you know, get this what you wanted. That's what they do in places over there. But there was sure fine white folks over there before the weekend. I had one round over there, and that was about some Johnson graves.
What was that?
You know, the Johnson grass after the flood, you know, just seeds washed all over the field. Well, next year, they come up just thick as that. That's why man wouldn't want you to pull it up, to cut it up. He wanted you to go on the field and pull it up. It's all over the field, pull it up every spring, you know, it comes up, you know, like shovels. And pull it up. And I wouldn't pull it up. I'd go across the field and dig it up like. And he wanted me to pull the root and all up, you know. So I was too old for that. I couldn't do it.
What do you say? Said,
well, if you can't pull this up, when you get this crop off, you leave my place. I said, thank you, sir. Well, everybody got the crop, you know, made a good crop that year.
Bye.
Whoops.
Before we leave, is that need a show because it's much too.
Never should settle apart.
Watt from Pedro show. There's a couple of Montreal bands. In fact, that last band there, Crackpot, had the drummer, Will, and guitar player, Chris, who played with me at that book launch in Montreal a couple weeks ago, a week and a few days ago. Nice, nice cats. That was Crackpot. I don't know Jack about Dick. And before that, Mold with Freedom's Eyes. Before that, we had Drums and Tuba. It was like a preview CD of their album, 8. Something Ape. I can't remember. But none of the songs were written down on it. And it was left at the club. They played the Grog Shop the night before I did, and the cat left it there. What's his name? Tony. It was called Mostly Ape. That's the name of their album. And it was the second tune, whatever that's called. And great band. For that, Skritti Politti with Opec and Mac. I had screwed up. I played the wrong song at first. But just a couple seconds. So, you know. Coming at the end, Brother Matt gave me the signal. I wanted to say lo siento. I'm sorry for screwing up. Marshall Ball before Skritti with 2-Bit Texas Town. And we started off with some memories and reminiscing by Miss Laura Smalley to John Henry Falk. Voices of Ex-Slaves. Good stuff to listen to on, well, every day, really, but especially today, Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday. That's about it for this show. We're all finished. Be back next time with another installment of Watt from Pedro show. Petra is getting ready to, she's mixing that Who Sell Out thing she did a cappella, so I want to play that in full for you, especially in light of what's happened to Mr. Townsend.
Oh, man.
And
research.
Research. But still, innocent till proved guilty, right? So, me and D. Boone love Pete Townsend. And remember, in his very own words, the kids are all right. No, don't mean to make light or anything like that. But thanks again, everybody. January 20, 2003, Watt Under the Weather Sickness version of the Watt from Pedro show. Keep your powder dry.